talk about the title, Something Learning from the Immune System. Now, I thought Cindy would know about that, and she might ask me some questions, and that's why I'm not allowing any question time. But I thought we were getting another Australian here, because there is an Australian leading immunologist called Graham Mitchell. But when I got here, I gathered Graham didn't come from Australia. So there's one at least who knows a bit about immunology. This is probably a bit lighter than what you've had. You might even find it harder if you don't know much about the science. But I'll try and keep the science simple for myself and for yourself. By many of his day, Christ was regarded as a great speaker. We know he was a great speaker. It was not only the things he said, it was the way he said them, wasn't it? The way he could respond to questions, the way he could discuss points. And we know that his favourite technique was to use parables. And we are familiar with the parables, some are touched upon tonight, the parables of the kingdom. The old section, parables about six on the kingdom, the pearl of great price and so on. And he spoke to people about things they understood and knew about. He illustrated principles with farming, with soldiers, with priests, with fishermen, things everyday life which they knew about. He chose them to illustrate particular principles. And in my peculiar mind, but over many years, I've often sat there and thought, if Christ was here today, who would he use in his parables? And I had my formative years of education at Birmingham University. And in those days, it was a thriving motor town. They used to make motor cars in Birmingham once, you know that. And in fact, I went to the Longbridge meeting, and the Longbridge meeting is right beside the Austin Motor Car Works, or was the Austin. Funny how things spread. They're all made in China now, or about to be made in China. But I thought, would Christ speak about assembly lines? Or strikes? I actually remember listening to exhortations by Christadelphians about, you know, people, you know, ones about they're getting enough money and so on, and I thought, gosh, there are not many union members in this meeting here. And there were only two plant managers from Birmingham, and I thought, what would he use today? Would he speak about IT specialists? Would he illustrate it? Or banking? Or independent financial advisors? Or personal fitness persons? Or in fact, lifestyle consultants you can get now. If you're rich and famous, you appoint somebody who tells you how you should live your life. Very useful. Yeah. Well, all of us in fact can, from our own experiences, try and preach or get over Bible messages. We can use our training, our background, our hobbies to illustrate things. And we can use our career zone. Our careers also can influence our outlook, how we see things. How Bible message may or may not appeal to us. And in turn, our outlook, our spiritual outlook, can affect our careers, and that is certainly true. How, in fact, you deal with other people at work and situations you get into, I'm sure all you would agree, is determined by your own religious background experience. Fairness to others. And those of us who have actually grown up in teaching environments, especially university environments, realize how cutthroat and how nasty they can be, and how principles of behavior and how you should treat people are overlooked, and people are, the knives are out most of the time. And I don't know what whenever I go to any room, whether it's to lecture room or for a restaurant, I always sit by the wall. I'm just beginning to wonder if it's fact I'm frightened somebody's going to stick a knife in my back. It's been at university so long. Now, at university, one of my main interests was immunology. And some of you will know what immunology is. And most of you will know what immunology is. It's basically the immune system. It's a system we have in our body which enables us to recognize infection and react to it. Without it, we would soon be gone. And we have in our body, as you probably all know, a number of lymphoid organs, such as the thymus. You'd have heard about the spleen, especially if you play rugby. We have lymph nodes throughout our body. You know, in fact, when you've got an infection or an injection and you start swelling under it and it's sore. And all down our gut, we have these lymphoid organs. But on top of that, we have the white cells in our blood, which are circulating in our blood, which circulate out into the tissues. They go out into the tissues and then come back, reflected through the lymph, and come back and circulate round again. So there's all these little cells going around our body, checking what's going on, checking there's no virus infection, and so on. On top of that, of course, an interesting problem today, I think the name on television, I watched a program the other week about anti-aging products. Not that I'm interested, you know, well, I'm only 25. But evidently, they were doing these, it was a Horizon program, and they were doing these tests on shampoos which actually restore your hair. I got none of those. Things which protected your skin, and they tried a number of these, and there was something, in fact, which they could show by doing the histology on the skin, was having benefit. Now, evidently, that product was launched today, and I rushed the shops and it had all gone. But evidently, there was a great demand on it. And then the woman on the television discussing this, and she said she's going, the woman who actually did the program, she said she's stopped washing, stopped shampooing her hair, stopped doing all of these things, no deodorants, and so on. And she was commenting on how well she looked. And you see, and all this washing washes away all those things your body secretes which protect you from infection. Now, I'm not advocating don't wash, but what there is, we do have a built-in barrier right around our bodies which protects us from infection. And secretions from our nose and so on wipe out bacteria and viruses and so on. But once, in fact, the skin, the body is breached, then other mechanisms have to come into existence. I want to tell you about some of these mechanisms because I think, in fact, we can actually get a spiritual message from them. And the most important thing is for the body to effectively react against infection by bacteria or viruses or with other of these intestinal parasites you get in Africa, a number of different kinds of cells in the body have to collaborate and cooperate. If they don't, you won't get an effective immune response. As soon as the microorganism goes into the body, it has to be recognized. And there are special white cells there which recognize this. And they take it up, and they process it, and they present bits of information on the surface to another cell. And this cell in turn responds and produces chemicals which then, in fact, probably act upon a third cell. And it's that third cell which will kill the virus or the bacteria in a certain way. Now, if the cells don't communicate, or communicate in the wrong way, you either don't get a response, or you get an adverse response. A response, in fact, which is not good for you, which is bad for you. Now, successful preaching of the gospel also relies upon organization, upon effective interaction between individuals and cooperation between people of different backgrounds, different types, who can contribute different things to the mix. It involves people talking to each other. Communication is important, as in the immune system. If the cells don't communicate, you won't get the immune response. So a successful outcome is crucially dependent upon personal interactions and the signals sent are transmitted between the cells. It's the same with religion. If it is to prosper, there will be different people talking in different ways, doing different, but you have to cooperate. Without the cooperation, you get no great success at all, do you? And it involves people not only talking to each other, but listening. And not only listening, but hearing. You can listen. All of us can be skilled at this. We're listening. And somebody asks you, what did I say? And you weren't listening at all, were you? But we have to listen to those cries for help and so on. Now, over 200 years ago, there was a very observant country doctor down in Gloucestershire. And I don't know whether he had an eye for pretty farm girls, but he noticed that milkmaids often had very nice skin. They weren't like all the other people around there, the young man and the other women who did other jobs, whose faces were marred by smallpox. And he asked a question, how is it that in fact the cowgirls look so well? And by a process of observation, he realized it was something to do with their close association with the cows. And what had happened, he worked out that they'd been exposed to cowpox, and this in turn prevented them from getting smallpox. And he in fact began to treat people with the pustules and the cowpox, and found out it protected them from smallpox. And that man was called Jenner. And for those of you who know much about smallpox, smallpox was eliminated from the world about 10 or 15 years ago, something like that, yes. In fact, I have to say, the last person I know to die from smallpox was somebody who worked in the medical school at Birmingham where I trained. I'm not a medic, by the way, I'm a scientist. So I don't want no one coming along later for, you know, I've got this problem, that problem. So the last person to die was, they were supposed to destroy the supplies of the smallpox, and this academic kept some because he wanted to work on it, and a number of staff of the university became contaminated indirectly through some leakage and died, and he was so upset by this poor chap, he actually, well, I won't tell you how he killed himself, it was rather sad. You know, that takes it back. People realize that you can protect some people from certain infections by immunizing them. And most of us, I suppose, have been immunized. But those of us in the United Kingdom and elsewhere will know that because of one report that there was a problem with certain vaccinations. People wouldn't take up the vaccine. People don't like the triple vaccine. And the big concern of the West at the moment is immunizing against bird flu. Well, having got a suitable vaccine, left to be injected. And the way the response you get actually depends on the nature of the vaccine, its composition, that is. It depends on what it's mixed with. They mix it up with what we call an adjuvant to stimulate the immune response. It depends on whether it's injected or whether it's taken by mouth. And it also depends upon the individual, because individuals vary greatly in their response. When the first polio vaccine came out, the trials showed that it didn't work, because they injected it. It didn't work very well. They injected it right up intramuscular intravenously. And then actually somebody realized you should be putting in a drop of sugar and feeding it, because it's the gut which was the major site of infection with the polio vaccine. So once they started giving it orally, the immune system in the gut became strengthened. And for those who don't know it, most of your immune system is actually in your gut, because the biggest organs, isn't it, in your body, the worst stuff to get in. So you have to protect them. Put tonsils up here as well, for no good reason. So I said, in fact, that the response you get depends not only on the stuff you inject, it's the stuff it's mixed with, how you inject it, when you inject it, and on the response of the individual. And so it is with the Christian response, the response to God's Word. The response that God's Word generates in us and in individuals depends on the way it is presented, the time at which it is presented, as well as the receptiveness of the individual. What is good for one may not be good for all. We must be aware of individual variations and feelings. We must recognize that depending on the way we present God's Word, we may get a positive response, an adverse response, or no response at all. Now, one of the biggest things the immune system has to do is to control the response. For example, when you make antibody, if you're anti-tetanus, you make antibody and that protects you. This is made by a certain kind of white cell called the B cell, it's simple. And in fact, it multiplies and multiplies, and you've got a lot of these cells making a lot of this antibody. Now, if it was left alone, it would continue, these cells would continue to divide like bacteria divide, and we would end up with lymph nodes as big as golf balls under here. And that's just from the tetanus. When you expose to everything else, you'd go through the same thing, making this, and your body would become full of white cells. So the response terminates after a while. The cells die off and it dampens down. So that's one control mechanism. But within our bodies, when we're at the early stage of development, we have the capacity to respond to almost any particular, millions, literally billions, millions and billions, 10 to the 13 something, different molecules. We can respond to things, in fact, which when man was created weren't in existence. Many of us are allergic to the chemicals of the modern age. While we were endowed with the capacity to respond to things which weren't even around, you can talk about that. We also have the capacity when in the early stages of development of responding against our own tissues. We can, in fact, destroy our own tissues. And during the course of our development, those cells in our body, with the immune cells, with the potential to react against our own personal things, are removed. And the thymus plays a crucial role in that. And that occurs in the fetus and when you're very young. So things which might react against you are eliminated. So you're left with things which will react against other people's tissues, against bacteria and viruses. On occasion, however, the system fails. It's not usually because the cells haven't been eliminated, but because exposure to chemicals and viruses and so on will alter our own tissue slightly so that we will react against them. Then you can get a variety of autoimmune diseases. Some of you probably are suffering from them. Those of us who are older, certainly. Arthritis is one, especially rheumatoid arthritis. Thyroiditis is another, where you destroy your own thyroid. Some forms of anemia are due to the same thing, destroying tissues. And these are called autoimmune diseases. To minimize these, apart from the elimination of cells which early in our development, our immune system has cells which can dampen down the immune response, can suppress it, can control it. And I venture to say that the Christian response likewise requires control. Duncan's talked about enthusiasm and it motivating and so on. However, on the other hand, one knows of the uncontrolled enthusiastic response which results in a profound burst of activity which cannot be sustained, which ultimately leads to exhaustion and despair. I think we've all seen it. We've seen it in religion, we've seen it in other things. When I think of my own three boys, as suddenly you've got to nail down But you know, in fact, you know that for them the day would have forgotten about it anyhow. So, but worse still is the lack of control. I've said, you know, we have the system for stopping us destroying ourselves. As an organisation, we're absolutely full of things which destroy ourselves, aren't we? Which manifests itself in intolerance to brothers and sisters, which leads to destructions of ecclesia, rather than to its protection and preservation. So control in the immune system is important. You have to suppress unwanted, there has to be tolerance to your own tissues, to yourself. And if you don't, in the same religion, if you don't get these things, then you're in trouble. Now, a key characteristic of the immune system, unlike many these systems of the body, is that it's got memory. What do I mean by that? Well, what it means is that if you're exposed to something and react to it, and it protects you, the next time you're exposed to that particular bacteria or virus, you will respond more quickly, more vigorously, and more effectively. And the reason for that is, after your initial response, when the cells are dying down, there are some cells retained which have specific memory of the event to which they were exposed. So instead of it taking, say, maybe 1 week or 2 weeks to develop sufficient immunity, next time you're exposed to the tetanus, it's 2 or 3 days, and you respond quickly and effectively. So our memory, a new memory, helps us to respond to challenges and to danger. And that, of course, is the principle used in immunization and vaccination. You expose somebody to either a sublethal dose of something or an unmodified form of the material which won't kill you, but in fact which will stimulate an immune response. And then when you're subsequently exposed to it, years later, you're out there digging in the garden, put the fork to your foot. Happens frequently. The most common cause of tetanus infections, probably, I would think. Have you ever met John?
It's true.
Yeah.
You have to
be
going to somebody else.
Yeah, yeah. So, arguably one of the main purposes of our Bible teaching, our Bible study, is to equip us with the wherewithal to respond to challenges and opportunities that present themselves. There may be spiritual challenges, moral challenges, social challenges, which will beset us and do beset us. If our memory is impaired, then our ability to recognize and respond will be both delayed and diminished, with the possibility that we succumb to the spiritual challenge. A few concluding comments. When you meet to worship, and especially on the Sunday, and take of the emblems, or Wednesdays we do it here, and speak of Christ's life, death, and resurrection, we have to remember that Christ wouldn't have been the person he was without his cooperation with God. It was his interaction with God which made them effective. We also wouldn't have been there without his tolerance, and God's tolerance of us. And it's remarkable, isn't it, in fact, that his tolerance to us is possible because of the intolerance of men that decided he should die. Without God's help, Christ would have died spiritually. He constantly admitted that of his own strength he could do nothing, but through obedience and cooperation with his Father, we achieve much. We meet frequently to be reminded of Christ's sacrifice, for our spiritual memories are short, aren't they? We quickly forget our vows, our responsibilities. We soon fail to recognize those things which can destroy us spiritually, or respond to those positive signals which help us to lead better Christian lives. Our memorial services are events such like this, like the immune response, are cooperative events. They are dependent upon the actions of many peoples in routine organization, in speaking, in singing, in reading, in praying, in cooking, in shopping, in transporting, and so on. All jobs, small jobs, some of the smallest jobs, often the most important jobs. But most of all, our meeting together, of course, has involved the cooperation and tolerance of God and His Son Christ Jesus, without their input, we would have nothing. And you've actually got 3 minutes for questions. Should have gone on a bit longer. No, not questions, comment. No.
Keith, just so your account is...